This is the night that Jimmy and Jimmy Tomasini and myself, we were heading out after 4 to 12 after having a hamburger and a pop. And I guess it was about quarter after 1. And we got parked down at the far end of Mealy Drive and we were ready for our little excursion into the bush. Got the telescope boat over our shoulder and the legs and the weights, binoculars around our neck and all set to go for another night. And we were just getting off the roadway, just through the little shallow ditch. I had to do a little jumping there because of the reeds and a little bit of water, although it was a fairly dry summer. And along comes a cop, provincial police cop, not a Sudbury police, just provincial police cop, come down here. Now, whether he was going on to duty or cutting over to the Falconbridge Highway, which that's their jurisdiction, and was using that, he pulled over and said, "What are you boys doing here?" I guess we looked pretty suspicious with all this equipment and walking through, getting ready to climb up the hill, and then we start telling him, "Well, do you believe in UFOs?" This is my personal remark to him right off the bat, and he says, "Why do you?" And I says, "Oh yes, we've had a lot of sightings, and we're going out," and I said, "I've got involved with the Air Force at this time, they know who I am, and I'm Don Campbell, and this is my friend Jimmy," and okay, so that's all right. And I said, "I bowl with Sergeant Lightfoot and also Sergeant Jim Colton of Sudbury Police and Sergeant Lightfoot." He's, "Oh, Lightfoot," he says, "he's not one of my bosses, but I know him well. He's down in our headquarters office." So this eased his mind about who I was and who I was talking about. And I even mentioned his wife's name, Audrey, and that he said, "Yes, I know her too, personally." So he knew I wasn't bullying him, you know, that I knew these people. And put him at ease, and I said, "We're going out tonight, hoping that we're going to see some UFOs." And he said, "Well," talked to us for a few more minutes, and he lit up a cigarette, smoked outside his cruiser, and then said, "Good luck, good UFO hunting," and, you know, sort of jokingly, like, much as say, "Well, you might see one or you might not," but he wasn't really convinced, even though he said, "Yes, we've had cruisers," he says, "phone in from Whitby area and different areas," he says, "patrolling at night, and they've seen strange lights zooming down over the highway." You know, he admitted this, he said, "Yes, some of our boys, I personally," says, "I've never seen any." So anyway, a little bit of idle chit-chat, and we were on our way. And it wasn't a fruitless night, because it was shortly after 2. The famous 2 o'clock seemed to be the UFO time, when all us humans should be in bed, sleeping, and most of the lights out. And so we're up on a hill, and we're sitting up the telescope. It's just aimed up at the sky, not looking at any particular thing. And Jimmy's having a smoke, and at that particular time, I had quit smoking. That was my first year of getting off the weed. I felt like one, but I wasn't. He was puffing away, and we seen 2 little stars in the sky quite high, and we looked again and said, "Geez, those aren't stars." And they were both coming down side by side. We don't know how far apart they were, until I'd say they were maybe 4 or 5 miles high, and we realized what we were looking at was 2 nice little white objects, which we believe had to be UFOs. So we weren't going to aim the telescope up at that moment. Too awkward, you know, your sighting scope and everything. Binoculars up, both focused in. We said, "By geez, we've got visitors. We're in luck tonight." And no sooner said than done, the one on the right-hand side, down, from a white star, and he turned on his blinking red light. Now, why they turn on the red light as they get lower, it's just like a warning to other craft, you know. We're here. Don't bump into us. Up to that time, it was just the white star, just like a star, and his red blinking light, pump, it's like an aircraft would. He come down, first thing we know is Jimmy says, "Geez, he's right over the line." And the red light out, and then it took on a beautiful white glow, an actual, just like a halo, and traveling very, very slowly down the line, just very, very, very slowly. And Jimmy says, "Uh-oh," he said, "it's got to be sucking up power, because from this hill view, we could look over at any remaining street lights, lights in people's windows, anything. We could look over toward New Sudbury in general." And we said, "Look at this. The street lights, they didn't go out. They dimmed. House lights, dim. And we watched this. We're looking at the lights. We're looking at the UFO. And it's going down the line. Then it seemed to stop and then come back up toward us. It wasn't going away any longer. As far as we were concerned, it had stopped and reversed itself and was coming back up. All this time, it wasn't telescope work. It was just focusing in, and it was definitely a round object. You could see the actual shape of the craft glowing over the wire. And 20, 25 minutes, maybe a half hour passed. I don't know exactly, although I did write it in my little notepad, how long it was from the time we seen it. And then when it seemed to be fully satisfied with the power, The other one was sitting parked up there, like I said, about 5 miles high, still remaining white. And it went up, parked beside it, maybe 300, maybe 500 feet. Hard to judge distance when two things are. And it went up to about the same elevation, and the other one came down where it left off, and I guess it was charging up its system, and it did the same thing. But the exciting thing about the second one was, as it went down the line, all the lights went right out. All the lights in New Sudbury went out, all the street lights went out. This one was apparently drawing a heavier load. That's what excited me more than anything else, was the lights didn't dim. They just dimmed right till it just sucked all the power right out. So to make a long story short, we watched this for almost the same length of time, and it went up to join its other one. Both turned on their pulsating red lights, and then up, 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 and then the red lights off, and then two little stars in the sky, and they were gone. Now by this time, we're just so excited, we're just elated. We jump in the car, we drive down, we rattle the old chains at the hydro exchange on the Garson Road. Hydro man comes out. There's a little buzzer you can ring for gate entry. Of course, it says no lurking around. You know, you're not supposed to be around there. And out comes this guy. And I don't think I told you this before, but the guy that was on duty that night was my namesake. He was another Don Campbell. I don't mind repeating his name. I went to school with him. It was another Don Campbell, same age as me, 3 months difference in our birthday. And he was Don Campbell, the second, Ontario Hydro, okay? He was the same name as me. This is no lie. This all comes out later on anyway. So anyway, he said, I'm not allowed to let you guys in, but he says, you can talk through the gate. And we said, well, I said, I've been watching UFOs for quite a while out here. And Jimmy and I, we talked idly back and forth. And he says, like I said, I'd like to let you in, but you've got to, you know, I can't let you into a hydro exchange building. That's why the fence is there and the lock's on the door. And he says, I got quite scared the other night. And he said, I got scared again tonight. He says, that one almost came up to my back door when we told him that we were watching the UFO. He says, yes. He says, this isn't the first time. We're supposed to keep our mouth shut about it. He says, pretty scary. He says, when you have one come up. And he said, you're looking at your gauges and you're dropping from 100,000 to 30,000. You know, you're just losing all your power. And then you go out the back and he says, and you look up the line and here's this glowing object coming down. And he said, this was the second time this week that this, we'd missed the first time. He said, this is the second time this week that we got paid visitors. So we didn't know that it'd come right up to the back of the fence. He says, right close to the station. He says, so close that it frightened me. And he said, I went back in and closed the door. I didn't want to look at it. He said, it was going to pick him up. He says, then he said, when my power came back up to 100,000, he says, well, the bugger's gone. He said, no sooner said than done. He says, down goes my power, 100,000, 70,000, 50,000, 30,000, and dropping, dropping, dropping. He says, I didn't have 1,000 volts left in the line. That's when all of what we'd witnessed. We said, that's when we seen all the lights go out. He said, oh yeah, 15 minutes at least, he says, we lost total power. He said, it's all on the graph paper, you know, the reading. He said, that thing was just sucking everything that was coming through that line. He said, this line feeds a big majority of New Sudbury, you know. Different parts of Sudbury, downtown and everything, he says. He'd have to look at his map to see, you know, what the junction, where that thing, that particular line. So he said, I come back out, and sure enough, he says, and another UFO, he says, oh boy. He says, of course, all this is written down in my report, and I report to the hydro inspectors, and also to Hennessy, who was the head Ontario man. So we had our little chat and everything, and I phoned in my report from a phone booth later. It was 10 cents for phones then, not a quarter. Into my 969 number, told them what I had witnessed, told them who I talked to, told them the whole story, and I guess they maybe were taking me at the other end, because every time I phoned, they were supposed to get, so they can pass it on to the day shift. Told them about, they said, well, we seen the UFOs parked, we seen one disappear out of the sky, it's below our radar line, and then we seen it come back up, like you said, at that time, and we seen the other one disappear, and then it was below our radar line. And then the two together, yes, that all coincides with exactly what you were saying. And then they both left together. And again, 15, 20,000 miles an hour as they sped away, all charged up. So they seem to depend on our hydro line power for charging up these smaller, they're little 30, 40, 50 foot craft. They seem to just borrow our power for a little while and drain some of our power. Which is, to me is highly interesting, because if they're from outer space, another planet, and they got a mothership that's, say, 1,000 miles high or 20,000 miles parked out there, they don't go back to their mothership to take power. Why should they bother? All kinds of hydro juice down here, they just draw it. whether they hook a cable onto our line from the belly of their craft, or it's just an induction when they're so close that they're scientific. I feel that they're not touching. Of course, my eyes and binoculars don't tell the story. I don't know if there's something really, you know, actually visibly touching, or they're just so close, but the craft glows. It actually gets a halo and a glow. It's something to see. Like through binoculars or with your eye, the whole craft is just a glowing ball. And then when they fly away from the line, they go back to a lighter color. It's amazing. It really is amazing. To see this, you no longer have any doubt in your mind. You are watching somebody from another world that may be 20, 30,000 years ahead of us in science. You know, we can't fly an airplane down over a hydro line and suck the juice out of it and hover over like a helicopter and move slowly. It's absolutely amazing.